Welcome back to The Analysis. By now, you may have heard of what's known as DeepSeek. It's very similar to ChatGPT, but it's owned by a Chinese AI startup. I sat down with Professor Aram Sinreich to find out what this means for schools and parents. Take a listen.
Question number one, have you downloaded DeepSeek yourself?
I have used DeepSeek. I have not downloaded their app because I'm very cautious about downloading apps from the People's Republic of China.
See, that's my same feelings about it. I'm a little worried about downloading it myself. So how did you go around testing it without downloading it?
So the nice thing about DeepSeek is that it's open source, which means that lots of different people and companies can post it on their websites and create apps around it. So I use a website called Hugging Face, which is a kind of AI playground where different coders can take open source AI and try it out. So if you're interested in trying out DeepSeek and you don't want to sign up on their website or download their app, Hugging Face is a great alternative.
And so is it huggingface.io or .com or something like that?
I believe it's huggingface.co.
Co. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll definitely look into that. And so what have you noticed after testing it?
Considering that it was trained on synthetic data and considering that it uses so many fewer resources than something like ChatGPT, it's remarkably robust. It does not, in the version that I used, it doesn't have real-time information about the world. It cuts off in July of 2024, but its reasoning abilities and its speed and accuracy are more or less equivalent to what I've seen with ChatGPT.
So they're pretty similar.
Yeah, I think casual users of ChatGPT will not see a huge difference in DeepSeek.
In terms of your students, are you starting to hear about your students also using it?
Well, obviously, those of us who teach about technology and society spend a lot of time talking about AI with our students. So it's not like it suddenly bubbled up from nowhere, but absolutely, DeepSeek is one of the new names that people are talking about when we talk about AI.
When you think of the difference between ChatGPT and DeepSeek and how it's used, especially among students, are there more ways for them to, I hate to even say this, avoid doing certain work, doing more work, making it their workload easier? Is it helping them to do that?
Well, students are like anybody else who has a job and an assignment. If you ask them to do something boring and dumb, they're going to use ChatGPT or DeepSeek to do it because that's what AI is really good for, is taking care of boring and dumb tasks. If you ask students to do something interesting and challenging, they're much less likely to use DeepSeek. So I tend to offer assignments that my students will find interesting and challenging. I ask them to look to look at the real world around them and describe what they see. I ask them to interview people who are experts in the field and to write articles based on those interviews. I ask them to reflect on their personal lives and describe how their own experiences reflect ideas that we've read about in the readings for class. So those are the kinds of assignments that ChatGPT and DeepSeek are not very good at replicating. So I don't think my students are very frequently having recourse to using them.
Got it. So is that your advice to other teachers as well, when, now that DeepSeek has entered the chat pretty much?
Well, it really depends on what you're teaching, right? There are certain kinds of classes and fields and assignments that DeepSeek is going to be very useful for replacing human labor. And a lot of students will probably use it instead of actually doing their homework. In a field like mine that's more kind of critical and research-based, it's a lot easier to create assignments that DeepSeek can't do for the student.
Got it. When you saw last week how it was impacting the stock market and things like that, did you see that coming as well?
I wouldn't say I saw it coming because the global market is very complex and there are a lot of factors that affect the price of a given stock or the overall health of the marketplace. But I wasn't surprised. And the reason for that has to do with the near monopoly that the company NVIDIA has on the kinds of chips that are used for large-scale AI. So because DeepSeek is so much less processing intensive, because you don't need the big powerful computer arrays to run it, it's not surprising that a company like NVIDIA, with a big inflated stock based on the AI bubble, would begin to see a huge fall. And that would tug down other tech stocks as well, as this kind of rampant speculation around AI begins to face the reality of what it's going to look like in the future.
Yeah. So I heard your warning about pretty much your warning about not downloading this app right away, given that your information could be saved by the People's Republic of China. What other precautions should be people be taking, maybe if they've already downloaded?
Well, you want to take a very close look at the privacy policy, see what you've allowed the operators of DeepSeek to find out about you. There are a lot of applications that ask for access to your microphone, ask for access to your camera, ask for access to your location, and you grant it because you can't use the app without it. But you don't really think, after you've given them that permission, what they're going to do with it. So you want to make sure that it's only using the microphone when you're speaking to it. You want to make sure it never uses your location unless you're asking it a location-specific question. You want to make sure that when you do interact with it, you don't share a lot of personal information. And a lot of people, when they use a search engine or AI, the very first thing they do is they ask about themselves. And when you do that, you're basically telling the company who you are, so that they can de-anonymize all of your other data. So just imagine that the app is somebody that you just met at a train station, and you don't know whether they're good or bad or what they're going to do with the information you tell them. But you definitely wouldn't hand them, your phone and say, "Hey, look through all my photos for me and track my location." That would be creepy. And I would argue it's even creepier when we're offering that power to a big corporation or a foreign government as opposed to some random stranger at a train station.
Yeah. And so in terms of students, we used to warn them that ChatGPT, it shouldn't be trusted for factual information because obviously it's a bot. But what is your warning with DeepSeek? Is it the same? I mean, if you're putting in asking it simple questions like you would on Google, would you trust everything on DeepSeek?
No, there have already been analyses of DeepSeek where it's been found to be substantially incorrect about seriously important factual issues. Scientists have asked it questions about basic scientific truths. Political scientists have asked it more nuanced questions about the political situation. DeepSeek is not a soothsayer. It doesn't actually, it's not intelligent, it doesn't know anything. It's just an algorithm that predicts speech based on inputs, using a huge corpus of other speech that other people have made. So you can't count on it to tell you the truth. It doesn't know the difference between truth and falsehood. All it knows is what's the most predictable combination of words in response to your question.
Okay. And what else have you found in terms of the usage? Do you think that it's more advanced in terms of things that students may be using it for?
Well, the interesting thing about DeepSeek is that, unlike ChatGPT, it actually tells you what its reasoning is. So you might ask it a question like, who's the good guy in the Marvel Universe? And then it'll kind of go through it and say, well, I see that you're asking me about the Marvel Universe. You probably mean the movies. Well, according to the movies, Spider-Man is often a good guy, but sometimes he does bad things. And Iron Man is much more complex a character, sometimes good and sometimes bad. And it'll kind of go down this whole list of how it's thinking about your question before it actually answers it. So, from a student's perspective, if you have a professor who asks you to show your work, well, all of a sudden you've got a bot that shows its work. So that becomes a much more much more powerful opportunity for students to offload their own work onto the bot.
So you think it's a little more powerful in terms of the usage and helpfulness.
I wouldn't measure it in terms of power. What I'd say is that the novel thing about DeepSeek is that it tells you how it's coming up with its answer. It shows you its reasoning in real time. And that has potential uses in good and bad in academia and in the working world.
Are you starting to hear about universities maybe banning DeepSeek in any way? Or
Every university in the world right now is struggling to come up with a comprehensive AI policy. And DeepSeek, because it's the newest, shiniest thing, is going to be a huge part of that. Nobody has come up with a really comprehensive answer yet as to like what the role of AI should be. What I generally tell my students is that AI is part of the world. It's part of the information landscape, and they're free to use it if they want, but they have to highlight exactly which text was generated by AI, what the prompt was, and why they're putting it into their work so that I can evaluate it the same way I'd evaluate any other source that they use to inform their scholarship.
Oh, that's pretty good. And what's your advice to parents who may not be tech savvy, who may not be aware of what their kids are doing with AI? How can they manage in terms of just not being able to know much about this?
I'd say two things. One is AI is one of the many types of apps that are a privacy risk to your children. And you should read their privacy policy very seriously. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, don't let your children use the app. The other thing I'd say is that AI is not it's not intelligent and it's not empathetic. And so despite whatever guardrails the programmers might put in it, it could give you very bad advice. It could tell you to eat poison. It could tell you to jump off a cliff. And unless you're educating your children about how to think critically about technology, you run the risk of them taking advice from a bot like that.
Yikes. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of times parents may not even know that their kids have downloaded these apps. So by the time that those things are happening, it's a little too late. What kind of conversations should we be having about AI at the dinner table in that case, where, kids already have cell phones a lot of times by 13? What kind of conversations should we be having about AI?
I would say, first and foremost, listen to your kids. If they're using AI, they're probably already part of a community of other kids who are talking about it and playing with it and messing with it. And I would say that when it comes to tech, messing with the tech is one of the best ways to be educated. So you could probably learn something from your kids if they're already messing with DeepSeek. I know my kids, I have teenagers, and they love to show me like AI fails. And I love it because that shows to me that they're thinking critically about the AI. They're not taking it as an authority. They're not taking it as a definitive source. They're not treating it as an intelligent person. They look at it as a piece of tech that sometimes does good things and sometimes does bad things and often does cringe things that are worth laughing at.
Yeah, so don't be afraid of it, but be cautious, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Professor. I appreciate you making time.
Thanks for listening. You can watch this story on dcnewsnow.com. Search Tech Talk if you'd like to see more video.